O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. I try to begin sermons with something that will pique your attention. Not all of my ideas are very good or workable. For instance, I had this thought about beginning the sermon this morning with someone playing a samba beat on a Congo drum, while I struck a Mick Jagger-like pose and started singing the song, the words from that old Rolling Stones song, "Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for long, long years, stole many a man's soul and faith." You recognize those words from the song Sympathy for the Devil. Ah, that would have been sweet, living out my rock and roll fantasy, but I rejected that opening. Actually, I have no sympathy for the devil, and I do not wish to give him any quarter or courtesy. But Satan does play a big role in our gospel reading today, and many people have questions about the devil. It seems like when I was growing up, I used to hear a lot about the devil in the church worship services and in Sunday school, maybe too much. Today, he gets little attention, if any, at all. So on this first Sunday in Lent, the day when we read about Jesus' temptation in the wilderness by the devil, we'll take a look at the devil and what he means to us Christians. The Bible doesn't say as much about the devil as we might like. As we often say, the Bible doesn't tell you everything you want, but you find it tells you what you need. What does the Bible have to say about Satan? Satan appears on the biblical stage very early on, in the very first book of the Bible. The serpent of the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3 is the devil. Now, a Bible critic might point out that Genesis 3 does not explicitly name the serpent as the devil. However, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 2, reference is made to the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan. It most certainly was the devil who beguiled Adam and Eve, bringing sin into the world. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, while Isaiah is delivering a message from God regarding the king of Babylon, he speaks about the king as being similar to the devil. They are both talked about as shining stars, called specifically the morning star, which is also known as Lucifer, and that this star was thrown down out of heaven for trying to take God's glory by force. The devil literally, and the king figuratively. From that passage and passages in the New Testament, such as Jesus when he receives the disciples back from their first missionary journey and says to them, "I saw the devil fall from heaven like lightning," we see that there was a rebellion in heaven as Lucifer and the angels who joined with him tried to take God's throne. The rebellion failed, and they were cast out of heaven, taking refuge on earth. Satan also shows up quite prominently in the book of Job, and we'll have more to say about Job just a little bit later. In the New Testament, we read about demons, the devil's minions, harassing and oppressing people, causing all kinds of sickness and disability and trouble. There were many people doing, or at least claiming to do, exorcisms in Jesus' day using all sorts of elaborate rituals. In the Gospels, we find Jesus casting out demons by the sheer power of his word. Surprisingly, the demons that Jesus cast out recognized Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, and they said so out loud. But Jesus forbids them to say more because he doesn't want the testimony of a demon, and because no one could truly understand what it meant that Jesus was the Messiah until he had risen from the dead. Speaking of the devil, Jesus called him a murderer and the father of lies. The early church perceived the devil as its opponent to spreading the good news in Christ. So often, I tell you, I can feel the devil impeding me. The revelation of St. John says that the lake of fire is the destination of Satan and his demons when their defeat is final. So how do we understand the devil based on the Bible? We know that God did not create evil. God's creation is good. His creation, though, does include spiritual beings, angels, who have free will. They can choose to be good or evil, as we do. Out of pride and jealousy of God, some angels, with Satan as their head, chose evil. These are the devil and his demons who oppose God's will. Satan opposes all that we do for Christ's kingdom, and the devil is working overtime because he knows that his time is short. He wants to drag all of us down with him. Now, many people say that belief in the devil and demons is horribly old-fashioned and not very scientific. But if there is no evil, no devil, how do we explain child abuse, the Holocaust, serial killers, and a host of other tragedies that defy logical explanation, including what is happening right now in the Ukraine? If Jesus didn't defeat Satan on the cross, then why did Jesus have to go there? Now, I am not saying that there is a guy in a red suit with a pointy tail and a pitchfork and horns. What I am saying is that there is an unseen personal force of evil loose in the world that will lead us away from God's will for us and lead us into sin if we let him. The devil, though, is not God's equal. God is far superior in power. While life often seems to us to be a struggle between good and evil, the ultimate victory of good over evil, of God over Satan, is assured by Jesus' death and resurrections. The demons know that God exists, and they tremble. And strangely, even they play a role in God's plan of salvation. In the book of Job, Satan plays an accuser, a tempter, a prosecutor. Recall that Job was a prosperous, healthy, happy man who loved the Lord. Satan's allegation was that Job only loved God because he was so blessed, and that if he had some tragedy in his life, Job would stop loving God. Satan tested Job every way he could, but he could not steal his soul in faith. Likewise, the devil tempted Jesus with temptations and pains that we can't even begin to understand. No one could pass that test except Jesus. Now, I want to point out three particular observations about Jesus' temptation that have major implications for us. First, the things that Jesus tempts Satan with are not obviously evil. What's wrong with making miraculous bread? Jesus could have did that and fed a lot of hungry people, and that would have made a lot of converts to his cause. And what's wrong with Jesus ruling the world? He would have been the most benevolent of dictators. Even things that seem so right and innocent are wrong when they are not God's will. Satan is tricky. Considering what we heard from the Satanic Bible last week, what attitudes and behaviors of ours might be the devil's way, not God's way? Secondly, notice how Jesus turns away the devil's temptations by quoting Scripture. Do we know the Bible well enough to discern God's will from the devil's invitations? In our time of doubt and pain, can we rely on Scripture to get us through? We need to study God's Word to be able to do that, and Lent is an awful good time to begin. Finally, notice that at the end of the temptations, the Bible says that the devil departed from Jesus until an opportune time. That opportune time would be when Jesus was arrested, put on trial, and crucified, when Pilate washed his hands to seal his fate. That will be the climax of our Lenten season, which is Holy Week. In his passion, Jesus would face down the Satan once again, and he would be tempted to abandon the way of the cross, God's way, and take some easy way out. Jesus did not give in. He did not surrender. He withstood every temptation. He passed every test. Truly, he is victorious over sin, death, and the devil. There is much more that we could say about the devil and demons, their methods, their final destruction and such, and sometime we will. For now, in this Lenten season, I am drawn back again and again to the words that we use in our baptismal rite. We say, "I renounce all the forces of evil, the devil, and his empty promises." May God grant us the grace during this Lenten season to live out the full force of those words every day, having no sympathy for the devil's cause and giving us complete victory in Jesus' name over all that opposes God's will. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.